Ever catch yourself in a crowded room?
Trying to make eye contact. Like,
without it turning into this
awkward game of conversational tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about those times you're
dying to glance at your phone but don't want to seem rude? We've all been there, right?
Right.
These little dances of eye contact and body language.
They're just ingrained in how we connect as humans.
Yeah.
But what if we could rewrite those rules?
Yeah.
What if we didn't need to be facing someone to actually communicate directly with them?
Yeah.
That's what we're diving into today.
Okay.
A research paper that came out of VRST 20.
Okay.
That explores how something called multiplex vision
could change how we communicate face to face.
Yeah, what's so fascinating about this research is they're throwing out a lot of our assumptions about what actually makes for a good conversation, what's necessary for a good conversation. They've actually built a device that lets you look in multiple directions at once while you're sharing your field of vision with other people.
Okay, hold on. I need to back up for a second. So
we're talking about a headset here, right?
Right. Think modified VR. So instead of being immersed in a virtual world, it uses a 360-degree camera to give you this constant panoramic view of your surroundings. It's like having eyes in the back of your head.
I'm picturing it.
But how do you share that view with someone else?
So that's the really ingenious part here. The headset also has these external displays that can project what you're seeing or specifically where you are looking. So imagine like small screens embedded in the headset itself, almost like having a thought bubble above your head showing what's capturing your attention.
Okay, so if I'm looking at you right now,
but then my attention shifts to like that amazing vintage poster on the wall.
Everyone knows what I'm checking out, even if I don't move my head an inch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The researchers called this manipulating the viewing parameter and the display parameter.
Okay.
It's basically like messing with those unspoken rules of engagement, what's called F formation, about how people instinctively position themselves when they're having a conversation.
You know, now that you mention it, I think I remember
reading about F formation years ago. It's something about how people tend to arrange themselves in a semicircle with the speaker kind of at the open end.
Yeah, precisely. And it's so subtle, but it really dictates a lot about how a conversation flows. So things like turn taking, focus, even how comfortable people feel in a group. And this technology just disrupts all of that entirely.
It's wild. How do you even begin to study something like that?
Do you just throw a bunch of people in a room with headsets and be like, all right, go have a chat?
It was a little bit more structured than that, although I'm sure there was some entertaining chaos involved.
Mm-hmm.
But they designed these three main scenarios to test out how this technology might actually change communication.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one was one-to-one conversations. So imagine being able to have a deep conversation with someone where you're both free to look around. You can glance around without losing that sense of connection.
That actually sounds kind of nice. Like no more pretending to be fascinated by a menu when you're actually trying to figure out what's going on at the table next to you.
Exactly. And then they took it up a notch with this one-to-many setup. So think about a speaker addressing a small group. With multiplex vision, they could potentially make eye contact with every single person in the room at the same time.
That is either brilliant or terrifying,
depending on how you look at it.
Right.
But imagine the possibilities for public speaking or even just in a classroom setting.
Right. And then the most ambitious scenario, which to be fair, they haven't actually tested yet, is this many to many.
Yeah.
So picture a room full of people. Everyone's wearing these headsets. Everyone's gaze is flitting about. Their attention's constantly shifting.
Okay, now my brain is officially starting to hurt.
That sounds like a recipe for
incredible connect
or utter conversational mayhem.
It's a fascinating thought experiment, isn't it? But let's reel it back in for a moment and talk about the actual experiments they ran, because the results were surprisingly nuanced.
So they had these wild scenarios.
But what did they actually have people do with this multiplex vision?
So they started with a task that almost sounds like something straight out of a video game.
Participants had to guide someone else through a room to find these hidden objects.
Okay.
Using the headset's external displays to direct their partner's gaze.
So like having your own personal search and rescue team.
But instead of yelling directions,
you're basically sharing your vision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets interesting. People didn't always find the displays that helpful.
Really?
Sometimes they relied more on their memory of the room than the information from the headset.
Huh. You think having that extra set of eyes,
so to speak,
would be like a no-brainer advantage?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
And I think it really highlights how our brains are already so good at spatial awareness.
We underestimate how much information we're constantly taking in and processing.
It's like our brains are already doing a form of multiplex vision.
Just not in the way that we typically think about it.
Exactly. But they didn't stop at virtual hide-and-seek. They also had people use the device to have actual conversations.
Okay.
And this is where those nuanced findings really came into play. So while people generally like the idea of not being constrained by facing direction, you know, being able to glance around or multitask a little bit while they're chatting, a lot of them found that it actually made the communication feel less personal.
It's like that saying, the grass is always greener.
We think we want more freedom, more flexibility.
Right.
But then those very things end up undermining the connection that we were looking for in the first place.
It's a fascinating paradox, isn't it? And perhaps the most telling detail from this whole study is that even though people could move around freely during these conversations,
they often didn't. They'd find a comfortable position and they'd pretty much stay put.
So even when you remove the physical limitations, that instinct to face someone when you're talking to them,
to make that eye contact, it runs deep.
It seems so, yeah. And this is where the researchers make a really interesting point.
They suggest that this technology could be really valuable for people who have social anxiety. Because for anyone who finds that direct eye contact really overwhelming, multiplex vision might offer a way to engage in conversation without feeling so directly exposed.
That's a really interesting angle.
I hadn't even considered that. It's like it could level the playing field, socially speaking.
By creating this buffer zone for people who need it.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder about the potential applications for, say, individuals with autism, for example.
Could this help them better interpret social cues by allowing them to see where other people are focusing their attention? Even if it's not directly on them, it opens up so many avenues for further research.
Yeah, it makes you realize what might seem like a drawback for one person
could actually be incredibly enabling for another.
It all depends on how we design and implement these technologies.
Precisely. And that brings us to some of the broader societal and ethical considerations.
Okay.
Which are kind of impossible to ignore when you're talking about tech that could fundamentally change how we interact as humans.
Okay. So we've talked about the tech.
We've talked about the experiments.
We even touched on some potential benefits.
But I have to admit, I'm still kind of stuck on that. What if everybody used this scenario?
Right.
What are the ethics of basically broadcasting your field of vision to everyone around you?
Yeah, it's a huge question.
And the researchers acknowledge
this raises a lot of questions that we haven't really had to deal with before.
I mean, for starters,
there's the privacy angle right now. Even with eye tracking technology becoming more common,
we still have this
reasonable expectation
that where our eyes go is our own business.
Yeah.
Multiplex vision kind of throws that out the window.
Yeah, it's one thing for me to discreetly people watch at a coffee shop.
It's a whole other thing if everyone around me knows that I'm checking them out. And it goes beyond individual interactions, too.
Imagine the implications for surveillance.
Oh, wow.
If this is technology, it becomes commonplace.
What does that mean for public spaces?
Yeah.
What does it mean for our ability to just
move through the world without being constantly monitored?
Right.
Even inadvertently.
Yeah. It's almost like
we need a whole new set of social rules.
And etiquette to navigate a world with multiplex vision.
Yeah.
Like, is it rude to look away from someone?
If your display is showing them something else.
Right.
Is this the ultimate form of multitasking?
Or is this
the death knell of true presence?
And engagement.
I mean, those are the million-dollar questions, right?
Right.
And I think what's so valuable about this research is that they're forcing us to confront these questions now.
Mm-hmm. Before we're swept up in another wave of technological change.
It's so easy to get caught up in the novelty.
Of like a new gadget or something.
Right.
But these things really shape how we see the world.
Absolutely.
How we relate to each other.
Even how we understand ourselves.
It's true. And I think
it's easy to get caught up in like,
is technology good or bad?
Yeah.
But I think what we need to do is recognize that every technological advancement has a trade-off.
You gain something,
mm-hmm.
but you also risk losing something.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And to kind of make conscious choices about what we want.
So no easy answers then.
Just a lot to think about.
Which is good.
Thinking is good.
Yeah, that's true.
The more we think about these issues now, the better prepared we'll be to actually deal with them.
Well said.
And on that note,
I'm feeling the need to maybe disconnect for a bit and process all of this.
Maybe take a walk and have a conversation.
Where I can only look in one direction at a time.
That sounds like a plan. Enjoy the break from the multidirectional world.
I think I will. Until next time, when we dive into another fascinating corner of research
and explore how it's shaping the world around us.